Turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, please. And my father's just going to come and read to us Revelation chapter 4.
It's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit this afternoon.
Amen. Amen.
After this I looked, and behold, a door was open into heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which thou must hereafter. Yeah. And immediately I was in the Spirit.
Amen.
And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and inside like unto the emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seat I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had their heads crowned of gold.
Amen.
And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunder, and voices, and there were seven trumpets on fire, burning before their throne, which as a trumpet into lamps.
Yeah.
Praise God. We all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Which were the seven spirit of God.
Yeah.
And before the throne there were a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. And in the first beast were like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the fourth beast like had each of the six wings before him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
Amen. Mm.
When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever.
Amen.
The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou createst all things, and for thy pleasure they were created.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank God for that.
The verse 6, where I said about four beasts, if you look in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 5, it gives you a bit of explanation about the beast.
Amen.
It's quick to find. Ezekiel 1, verse 5.
Amen.
Thank you.
Nobody knew what scripture readings, nobody knew what I was preaching on today. But God did. And we sang that chorus, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Happens to be in that scripture reading. Is God on the throne?
Yes.
Is God in, wants him to be in our midst?
Yes.
Amen. I want to attempt to continue and try and take us further on in worship. I'm hoping that in some way I'm going to change some of the angles that we have on worship, some of the take that we have on worship, so that we can be released into worship from where we are now. And when you read chapter 4 of Revelation, it begins to give you a picture of what heaven is like, what the throne room's like. Most of us will remember the days when we didn't have television and we just had radios, and they had stories on radio and they read the stories to you, didn't they? Or they were acted out on with different voices to give emphasis on the radio. And so some of you younger ones, Philip, probably won't remember this, but we had to then begin to use our imaginations, didn't we? And our imaginations became creative, didn't they? We, through words, we pictured things. Yes? You know, they say, what is it about a thousand word? A picture paints a thousand words, and a thousand words, I don't know what, I can't remember the rest of that one. No, but, yeah, like paint a picture, I don't know, but anyway. But as you say things, you paint a picture. If I say to you, today I had an apple, it was yellow with a little bit of red around, and inside the flesh was white, and it was crunchy and it was sweet to the taste. Now you're beginning to get a picture, and you're even beginning to, the taste buds are even beginning to, yeah, I can taste that apple. Yeah, and you can go on and then describe the smells of it, you see. Last night we came down through Sproutborough Falls, and it was raining like it is today. And as you come down through Sproutborough Falls, there's an aroma. And it's the garlic. Now, you can drive there down there when it's dry. You don't smell it. There isn't the whiff of it. There isn't the slightest hint of it. When the rain came down, it caused the garlic to begin to emanate its fragrance. And you drove through and you could smell the garlic by the side of the river as you came down to the falls. We were in the car. The windows were shut. Everything was shut, but it came in. That was the strength and the power of it. So, and yet it's pitch black, it's dark, and yet as soon as you drove through, you said, "Ooh, can you smell the garlic?" You knew immediately, and then your mind begins to picture what garlic looks like. See? And so we need it at times really to sharpen our imaginations. What is God saying? Television made you lazy. They put it on the screen for you. You don't even have to think about it. Your imagination isn't creative, because it's presented to you. It's already been imagined for you, so it's now being displayed in front of you. Whereas when somebody begins to speak to you and talk to you and describe a picture or a holiday, a vacation, somewhere where they've been, your mind begins to put pictures together and you begin to put pieces in like a jigsaw. Backgrounds and shadings and things in the foreground. And suddenly you begin to see something that is being described to you. And you need to read again Revelation chapter 4 to yourself and sit there and begin to imagine that throne room. verse 3 says, and there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Your mind can go all sorts of directions with that. We see a rainbow, the arch of a rainbow, the many colours, the seven colours, the prime colours that make up a rainbow. But then you can get different coloured emeralds. As we bought the stones for our rings, there are different colours and depth of colours, richness and clarity. And so you can then begin to imagine that, and around the God's throne, now, light consists of the seven elements, seven different elements of light coming out, pure light creating other colours. And so together they are, as God is there on the throne, He's emanating His light. And yet there's an emerald appearance. Now, emerald is to some degree green. Scripture, the colour green means fruitfulness, life. And so, you get an interpretation from that, that God is on the throne. And as He sat on that throne, that He's emanating light, He's emanating a rainbow of light. And in that rainbow of light, there is life that is coming out from the throne room. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How are you going to get this life? By touching the throne room. By entering in to the throne room. Began to see this over this last few days afresh. Worship is about entering in to the very presence of God. Worship is about touching God. And when I say touching God, I actually mean touching God. I don't mean just having a few mamby-pamby prayers. I mean about getting in there and actually touching God's presence. You do, because the woman with the issue of blood got in there and she touched His presence. I know it says she touched the hem of His garment. Well, let's rephrase that. We know what the garment was, but by touching His garment, she touched His presence. And when she touched His presence, green, emerald light left His body. He calls it virtue. I perceive, I sense, I know that virtue has left me. Life, the life source, energy, the energy of life left me. And it was given, it was healed right there and then. And so we can thank God that we can press. God wants us to press in. Now, the book of Revelation is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not about the devil. It is not about the devil conquering the world. It is not about the devil being victorious. It is not about the mark of the beast, the 666. But it is about Jesus Christ, the Lord, Master, Savior and Healer and Redeemer of all creation. That's who it's about. So get the devil out of your mind, get him out of your focus, and focus on that this book is written about the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the Creator of all things. That's who it's written about. So the next time when somebody asks you, oh, what's Revelation all about? It's about the revelation of my Lord Jesus Christ. Most folks say it's about the devil. Where? Because everybody's focused on it for year after year after year after year after year after year. But that's not the introduction of the book. So why are we missing it? Because it's sensational. it scares people into the kingdom, they hope. God does not want you scared into his kingdom. He wants you to come into his kingdom because of your love and your passion and your desire for him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 5, it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings. That's light again. Lightning. You know, they say, don't ever get struck by lightning. Because if you do, you'll be dead and burnt up. There's so much power in lightning. Well, we need to be struck by God's lightning. Because it will rejuvenate. It will empower us. And it will, yeah, it will sharpen us up, definitely, you know. It will equip us for the things of the kingdom of God. And there's thunderings and voices. Heaven is not a quiet place.
Amen.
We all come to church and we get ever so quiet. Now there is a time for a time of quietness. Yes, God gave them half an hour. And after that, there's thunderings and lightning and praise and songs and adoration and worship and praise and songs and adoration and worship and commissions and rewards and thanksgiving. All these things are going on in the kingdom. And we're all part of it. We're not left out of it. Hallelujah. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. I want to come back to that in a minute, but before we go any further, worship occurs in the book of Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ 24 times. 24 times. This worship, this word worship that is used in, that John uses in Revelation, is to kiss. To adore. To bow oneself before him. To show respect. To fall prostrate before him. Literally, to throw kisses towards him, you know, throwing kisses to Jesus. Oh, don't be so stupid. Hang on. Have you never, ever physically thrown a kiss to somebody? Hands up who's never done it. Done it to family? To your children? To your grandchildren? Yeah? Ivy was throwing kisses as we were in, as we stopped at every red light. Well, no. 90% of the lights today coming to church were red. Is that not true? I think we got two green ones out of all those lights. And so we kept meeting the lights as we passed each other, and Ivy would be going, throwing kisses, you see. So we threw kisses back. See? So we do it. To each other. We can do it to Jesus. Now, the people of the world might think, well, you're a bit daft, aren't you? Well, yeah, maybe, but daft in love with Jesus. You are stupid when you're in love with somebody, are you not? You'll do the daftest things for them, won't you? Why? Because you're in love with them. You're captivated. You're emotionally connected to them.
Yeah.
You're not just connected by your emotions, but you begin to be connected by spirit.
Yeah.
You've heard me say, I know what grace is. I mean, it's difficult for a man to know what a woman is going to do. Very difficult at times. You see, when one gets closer and closer and closer, one can know what she's going to do next. Is that not true? Yeah, and get to that point where even... But that is a major retreat achievement, to know what a woman is thinking. When you know to get out of the way, when that, you know, thing is flying towards you. Yes. It is a major retreat. But knowing what each other is thinking knows bringing a closeness. Throwing kisses. To throw a kiss is a token of respect or homage. There you are, you see, when you're throwing kisses, you're throwing respect towards somebody. When you throw kisses to Jesus, you're throwing respect towards him. And you know, you're displaying that in front of principalities and powers. You're demonstrating in front of principalities and powers your worship, your adoration for Jesus. And Revelation talks of doing it 24 times. That's strange, isn't it? There's 24 elders around the throne. I don't know, we'll get to that some other time. I'm not concentrating on that. I'm giving an overall view, and then we can go back and we're digging over the, you know, we're loosening the soil, and then we're going to find some places where we can dig some holes. All right. So, and you know, you might start digging, but don't start digging yet. Dig later on, but you know, stay with me to get. Let's get the ground cleared a bit. The ancient Oriental people used a mode of salutation, of salutes between persons of equal ranks, to kiss each other on the lips. The French do it, don't they? Well, not on the lips, but on the cheek. Is it three times the French do it? Oh, it depends where, does it? I need to know. I'm going to France next week, you know, so I mean, yeah. And so, it depends where. Huh? Get a standing, yeah. The British stand back, you know. Outstretched arm, you know. Oh, well, that's right. And we've got to break out of our Britishness and coming to the time of freedom in God. To realize that it's something that He loves, and it is something that God wants to do. Genesis chapter 2, God came into the garden. Came looking for a relationship. Let's, you know, boil it down to where He came looking for a relationship. Not to lord it, but for a relationship. Totally different things. God hasn't changed what He planned at the beginning. He's still looking for the relationship. But relationships are two-way. Giving and receiving. Giving and receiving, both ways. When there's a difference of rank, they kiss it slightly. They kiss each other on the cheek. That's probably where the French one came from, you see. They kissed each other on the cheek because difference of ranks, etc. Or there's even the fact of falling on the knee, falling upon your knees and being touched on the forehead. Or bowing prostrate down to the ground. And so we need to realize that there are ways of expressing ourselves unto God. And that's what this worship means at this time. It means that outward expression, showing. So we can bow before the Lord. We can kneel before the Lord. We can lay prostrate before the Lord. We can throw kisses to the Lord. You can do it in church even. You know, stand there going... Folk think... You get strange coming, think, what on earth are these people doing? They're just in love with Jesus and they're just throwing Him some kisses. Yeah? Song of Solomon, kiss me with the kisses of your lips. Worship it. God wants you and I into worship in such a way that it will, the process that God started when He created all things will continue to go on in you and I. That's what worship causes, that to begin to be stirred into action. It releases something in our lives that begins to create things and begins to build that which is missing at this time in the church. And true worship will cause us then to get so in love with Jesus. And somehow we have to get back to that. He's not a God of fear. Because if you have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, then what do you have to fear? I'll take it a stage further. Whom do you have to fear? Not just nothing, no one. Not even self. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But Christ liveth in me. And you see, if we're not careful, that which we're afraid of, Job 3:20, gets hold of us. Can you see why the word says, God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Your soul is sound. Your soul is sound. Now you stop trying to make it unsound. You stop trying to, and don't allow others to bring you to that point where you're feeling unstable, not safe, not able to enter into the presence of God. You see, that is a trick of the devil. To play on your mind, to play on your soul, that you will not enter into the presence of God and worship Him. Why? Well, you're not worthy for a start, are you? I mean, who do you think you are? Did I stand outside of me with a microphone and put it on tape? Ah, you fill in the gaps for that. I'll just lob in the question, you fill the gap in, like, you know. Co-heirs with Christ. Microphone's down there, love, you know, just switch it on. I know, you're helping out well as well. It just saves me, doesn't it? We can save some time, love. We can get on further, hopefully get deeper in. Absolutely. I'm not, you know, I'm serious, absolutely serious about this, because this is where we are. This is what God is wanting to get from His people, from His church. You see? This is what God wants. And the problem is, we listen to the world. And we've listened to wrong doctrine that has put fear in our lives. You're not worthy. Well, hang on, the word says I have been made worthy. How have I been made worthy? I have been made worthy through the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrificial blood upon the cross, and I accepted Him as Lord and Saviour of my life, and the process began on me then. And along the way, I've fallen down. I've stumbled. I've tripped up. I've gone headlong. But do you know what? He's picked me up and said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His right hand. So, come on. Yes, you've tripped, you've fallen, you've stumbled, you've made all those stupid things. But that's okay. That does not change the fact of the work of the cross.
Absolutely.
That does not change the fact of your decision to seek to live for Jesus. When a baby comes out of the womb and cries, it desires to live and breathe. Yes, yeah, letting you know. And then you feed it, and then after a while it pukes up and throws sick all over you, you know. Great kid this is, you know. You're dressed in your best and you're bouncing it, and the next thing, great, you know. Thanks a million. Kid, give it back to its mother quick. Let its mother look after it. It begins to crawl, doesn't it? None of us got out of the womb and said, thanks mother, right, let's go. Do we? You know? We got out and went, ah, what an awful place this is. It was safer inside. Now feed me. I'm here. And then later on it's, ah, now change me. I'm still here. My mum and dad said they used to feed me, and then straight away they had to change me. Not all this changed. Well, yeah, it has, but I'll run the tape back a bit and I'll try that bit. I'll try that bit again. Edit that bit out, for goodness sake, will you? What I meant was that I'm free flowing. I don't have trouble like that, okay? I can quite easily go. I don't have constipation or anything like that. I can quite easily, you know. I'm regular, all right. That's what I meant to say, you know. I don't have problems in that area. Grace made us some vegetable soup this last couple of days. You know. Healthy living. I'll tell you what, you've not only got to be healthy in our house, but you've got to be quick on your feet. Because once you've had it, you've got to make sure the other room's free. Well, I have anyway. God, she says, you know, you need to get some more fruit down you. I had an orange the other day. That might be it. I had an orange the other day. I mean, yay big. You saw them on my desk, didn't you? I had one of them. And now I had it after you'd left the office. Friday night, I got back just after you'd left. I had this orange just after 5. 6 o'clock. I was in there. And it was just like, whoosh. And I thought, blooming heck, what have I had? I had one little orange. And Grace says, you need more fruit. What for? If I have any more fruit, I'll be losing weight. You'll not see me. Yeah. You know, I can look at an orange and lose weight. Yeah. So, where were we? Well, you know what I was saying anyway. Praise God. So, worship. Adoration and praise. And in Revelation, it appears 24 times. God is emphasizing the points. And Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10 says, the 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. See? And worshipped him that lived forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and they're worshipping him, giving him thanks, giving him praise. And we can thank God for that. Revelation 13 and verse 8 says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall, not maybe, not might, shall worship him praise God. Let's just turn to that. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain before the foundations of the world. Hang on. Everybody is going to worship Jesus. Not just us, but everybody. Now you hear him say, "You'll never forget me worshipping your God." Huh, wanna bet? I've read the book. And it says you will. It says you will. Even if your name's not written in the book of life. If it's written in the other book, you're still going to have to worship him. Because he's in control. He's responsible. He takes charge of all life. All things belong to God. All things came from God. And God will judge all things. Now remember, judgment is double-sided. There's a judgment of blessing. There's a judgment of punishment. Hallelujah. And to those who are washed their garments in his blood, there is a judgment coming of blessing. Get that into perspective. There's a judgment of blessing coming. The moment you mention judgment, people... Why? There is a positive side to judgment. There's a creative side to judgment. And thank God we can take our court cases, our circumstances, that was it was. Glory, hallelujah. Be speaking in tongues next. Our circumstances to him. And as we take our circumstances to him, he judges righteously on our behalf. And we can praise him for that. We know that he's a just God. We know that he's for us and he's not against us. Revelation 13:12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and all that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds was healed. Again, this word worship is this adoration. You know, some of you have had pets, haven't you? Dogs in particular. Their master. When their master comes home from work, what does the dog do? Makes an absolute fuss. In some cases, before you arrive home, if the dog's that smart, can hear you coming down the street. Knows the very time that you are appearing. It's a good word, isn't it? We're waiting for his appearance. And the animal knows the very time that you are about to appear. And it begins to stir itself. And it begins to get excited. And when you walk in, it begins to fuss. And it begins to kiss you. Not on the lips, Catherine. Ooh. I know you. That's a dog. Get that dog off me. Yeah. We went to a friend's house just the other day. They've got a dog out there. The 11-year-old Jack Russell. Brian and Linda's. Keep up. And we were sat there. And it came and sat at the side of me. Began to look at me with its doleful eyes. And I began to talk to it. What do you want? What do you... And there it was. The next thing, we were best of friends. And it's wanting to... And it, you know, it's in adoration now of me. Because I'm taking an interest in it, you see. And it's now... It's enraptured with me. Because I'm interested in this dog. I'm interested in this creature. And it is so excited. Now it's interested in me also, you know. And there's this exchanging of a relationship. I don't know what it is going on. And this dog is loving it. And he's feeling comforted, consoled, protected, wanted, loved, welcomed, accepted. All those things create an atmosphere around this dog, and this dog is just loving it. And it's, you know, it's tied to my leg now, just about. He can't move. Well, this dog, what else have you got to say to me? You know? The dogs begin to be in love again. You know, it's crazy, isn't it? But God brought creation, brought all the animals to Adam. He said, you name them. You name them. I bet he looked into their eyes, looked right inside them before he gave them a name. Looked at the lion, big proud beast, and looked inside him and saw courage. You can be the lion. Wow. Courage. Strength. Majesty. Crowning glory. King of the jungle. Jesus. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of all kings. Hallelujah. And so worship is so important in the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. We sang that, didn't we? Holy, holy, holy. And this is continually going on in heaven. This is going on around the throne room, where the lights are flashing, the thundering is blasting out, the glory and the rainbow is around the throne. There's a crystal sea. Do you know, my mind gets loose. A crystal sea. I can just picture it, you know, this. It's not a square room. It's around, it's a round area, and the throne is right in the middle of it, and you can go around it and you can view it from all sides. See, God wants his people surrounding him. He wants his people around him, not just in front of him. He wants to be amongst his people, you see. And I just see this throne room, and I can just see it, and it's around them. It's this enormous crystal sea. And you walk on it, and there's light reflecting through it, pure light. And then from the throne, there's this rainbow of seven different colours around the throne, blending in, and they're reflecting on and reflecting back. And then there are flashes of light from the purity of God. There's light, and as the power of God is being released, it thunders out. And you feel it vibrating within your very being. And you know God is there. His very presence is there. Seated next to him is Jesus, the Lamb, on his right hand, who was slain. And there are angels who were flying around and swooping around and listening to what is being said in the thunderings and the lightnings, in the voices that God is speaking. God is saying to your angel, go out and go and get them what they need. I heard their cry, go and do it. And the angels are being dispatched. the glory of God. As they leave, they carry the presence of the glory of God on their lines. And in their wings they carry. And they bring the presence of God to you and I. God wants us to begin to enter into that throne room. Sometimes when I sit on that chair at home, when there's nobody there, when the vacuum cleaner's not running, when the washing machine's not going, when the house is silent, because Grace is out, I can then visit the throne room. And I begin to imagine the throne room. In the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. John went into the presence. If he's allowed to do it, I'll say. Then why can't you be allowed to do it? Why can't you be allowed to enter into the throne room of God? Why can't you be allowed to see something of the glory and the majesty and the power and the might of God? Why? Give me an answer. Well, why don't we? It's a challenge I'm giving. It's a challenge to each and every one of us. Do you want to see an angel?
Yeah.
Three of you do. Four. Do you want to see an angel? It's got to be a desire. And it's got to be a prayer. God, open my spiritual eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. Talked about it last week, didn't we? When Elisha says to God, he says, God, open his eyes. It's as simple as that. Open his eyes. How complicated do you need it? We'll sit down and work out a computer program or a formula that you have to work through. Will that help? No, it won't. It's simple. God, just open my spiritual eyes. I'm not satisfied with what I'm seeing. It's not wrong to be not satisfied because you've not yet reached the place of perfection. You've not yet tasted all the things of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you are still, you know, licking out the empty dishes. You haven't had the cake. You haven't had the trifle. You haven't had the cream. You've had what's been left in the dishes when it's all been scooped out. My cup's full, or if you want, my dish is full and running over. I don't want the dish that somebody else has had and left the, you know, you give it to the dog and say, here, lick that. I'm not a dog. My dish is full and running over. But it comes out of worship. A full dish, a running over dish, will come out of worship. And no other way. It's not how good you are. It's not what you can do. It's not how much money you've got. It's not how long you've been a Christian. It's about worship. It's about worship. Some people, you know, they say, well, I've never seen this and I've never seen that. But you know, it comes down to, honestly, I believe, it comes down to real worship. What are you focusing on? What is catching your attention? What is it that is focusing you? What is it that is pressing you and driving you on? I want to see Jesus. I've seen him once in an open vision. Told you about it. In a group of 4,000 people. I don't know, I might have been the only one that saw him. The minister, one of the ministers on the platform, got up and basically declared it, prophesied it, that he'd come amongst us. But how many people had seen him? How many people believed it? How many people realized that Jesus actually walked down the aisle and passed by them, passed by the side of them as they were singing Majesty, worship His Majesty? How many people did He, as He passed by, did He touch? How many people sensed the touch? How many people realized that Jesus was actually really there? How many people realized that when that minister declared that word, that Jesus was actually, when sat right in the middle of the platform, when he said he's taken his seat in the midst of us? How many people actually realized? Or was it, that's nice and comforting, isn't it? That's pleasant. That's a nice word. I don't think many people did. Because if I think we really did, we'd have worshipped him. I don't know where it had gone from there. But that day, God opened my spiritual eyes for a moment. And I believe that was in preparation for other things. Some years later, I was given a prophetic word by a minister, Warwick Shenton, who told me that I would see things in the supernatural that other people wouldn't see, and had to realize that they wouldn't see them. I'd not got to be afraid. They'd misunderstand me, but I had to carry on. And that takes some doing. And if you're not careful, you can lose it. Use it, you'll lose it. And I want to encourage you folks. Ivy, last Sunday you were filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Use it, don't lose it. Cause it to grow. Not just a few words, but let it be an absolute holy language unto God. And so we can thank God. And thank God for people who in the church just simply say, well, I'll pray with you. Zena prayed with her. God moved in. God stepped in. It's not about Zena. It's just being there and saying, I'll do it, God. If I'm the only wire, plug me in both ends. Strike me with a thunderbolt, God. Strike me with lightning. And let that power be released into somebody's life. God wants a people who can take thunderbolts and direct them into people's lives. God wants people who can hear and interpret what the thunder is saying and impart it into people's lives. That thundering is God speaking. That thundering is God's thoughts. That thundering is what God is saying about your situation right now. You need to get into that presence of God. Hear the thunder. No, God's speaking about you. He's declaring good things over you. Hallelujah. I don't know where we'll get to today. How long have we been going? 50 minutes. Nearly long enough. I don't have to do all this today. Do I? I want you to realize that God is for you and not against you. I want you to realize that God is in love with you. And I want you to realize that God wants you to be in love with Him. And as we're in love with Him and as we seek His face and things of this nature, we shall see the hand and the presence of God moving in our lives. But we have to get into the presence of God. We have to get in there. I'll just finish with these two scriptures for today. Genesis chapter 2 verse 16 and 17. Have you got that? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest it, therefore thou shalt surely die." He never said to the man in the garden, "Don't eat of the tree of life." But did you know, I've heard it preached that we were told we can't eat of the tree of life. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." Amen. Glory to God. Hey, God is restoring the beginning. God did not refuse the tree of life. He refused the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life was always available. But do you know they didn't partake of it? Do you know I know? Because God says we're going to drive them out of the garden lest they eat of the tree of the life. They had never eaten of the tree of life. You know, this wonderful tree, I don't know what fruit it was. But there's this wonderful tree in the garden, and it's the tree of life. It's Jesus. Amen. And yet, God's creation did not eat of it. It's a bit like the church, isn't it, really? They're not really eating of the tree of life. Yeah, there's a wrong thing and a right thing. We'll focus on the wrong one. Why? If there's good and evil, we'll focus on the evil. You know, we've got judgment on our brain, but the problem is, it's one-sided. And it's lopsided. Ooh, you're going to be judged, you know, for what you do. Oh, praise God, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank God, it's going to be God that's doing the judging and not the devil. Because if it were the devil, I'm dead. Forever. But if it's God, there's grace and mercy and love that emanates from God. So I know who I want to be my judge. You see, I know I'm secure. Oh yeah, I've made my mistakes, and I'll make some more along the way, I presume. But at the end, blessed are they who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gate into the city. What city is it? The city of Zion. God's new city. Oh, man. I tell you. You know, this is something to be excited and start to worship and praise and give thanks to God. There's a city that's never seen sin. There's a city that's never been defiled by sin. There's the tree of life in the garden, and you can walk straight in and grab it and bite on it and say, I have eternal life. I will live forever in purity and truth and wholeness in God. And it's there any time for me. Glory to Jesus. It's there, yeah, it is in Jesus. But yeah, but what I'm trying to say, you know, God is what was there in the beginning. It was there. And yet we refused it. I'm asking the question, what has changed today? It's still there. And we're refusing it. It's still there, and the church is refusing it. And God is going to leave it there, even right to the end. It's still there. God has not changed anything.
Amen.
The Bible says, He, God, doesn't change. He changeth not. So what He made in the beginning has carried on right through. And He's had an angel around that tree for the last 6,000 years. Guarding it. And that tree is going to be there in that new city. Hallelujah. Still pure, still holy, and it's a symbol of Jesus. Absolutely. Everything is available to us now. It's not that we're waiting for it, but what I'm trying to get that emphasis of, you can have it now, but you've got to partake of it now, partake of Jesus, and it is a continual thing. And God has not stopped you. It's protected from the wicked. That tree is guarded so that none that are wicked can touch it. But the moment that one of the Holy One of the children of God, spiritual Israel, enters, the angel will bow. And his sword will be sheathed. And he will bow before you. And he will allow you access. But the moment that somebody comes or seeks to come that is not washed in the blood, he will drive them away. He will drive them away. But to you and I, he will allow us entrance to the tree of life. And then there's coming that day when he's planted that tree of life in Revelation. When that tree will be planted in the new Zion, the angel will not be guarding the tree. There'll be nothing to guard it against. Freely have you received, freely given. It'll be a free entrance any time. Hallelujah. I tell you, there are some things that we need to really grasp hold of. I hope I've encouraged you. I hope I encourage you to reach in and begin to worship. Worship is not about being silent. Worship is noisy also. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.